Psalm 1, and we're going to read from the beginning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless to us this reading from his own precious and inspired word. Perhaps we could bow briefly in a word of prayer before we turn to minister the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we give thee thanks and praise for thy word, the living word of the living God. We bless thee that the word of God endureth forever. And we thank thee for him who is the living word, the one who came down from heaven, the one who went to the cross, who died for us, the one who took our place and shed his blood for our sins to be forgiven. We rejoice today that we're found in Christ. We thank thee for saving and keeping power. We thank thee, O God, for thy blessing. And we thank thee for thy presence with us in this service already. And we pray that as we turn to thy word, that thou would make the word of God to be a blessing to our hearts. So undertake for us now, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn your attention this morning to the first psalm, the happy man. And we have the happy man portrayed for us in this psalm that we've just read together. Psalm number 1 is a fitting introduction to the sacred Psalter. It constitutes a perfect epitome of the whole book. You look at the Sermon on the Mount and you'll find that it begins with the same word, that word blessed. Blessed is the man. This word is in the plural, and it has been rendered, oh, the blessedness, or the blessednesses of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It seems that here is a wellspring of joy and blessing and happiness, and it's just welling up. Oh, the blessednesses of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but who walks after the ways of the Lord. Such a man is not only blessed, but he is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this happy man this morning portrayed for us in Psalm 1 is a truly blessed and joyful man. And I trust that all of us in God's house today will benefit from the study of this psalm this morning, that it will indeed increase our joy and our blessing and our happiness as we follow the Lord wholly, like Caleb and Joshua. This happy man comes before us in a twofold aspect in the psalm that we've just read. We have, first of all, his negative character. There are some things that the happy man or the blessed man will not do. Not because a law and judgment dare him to do them, but because he has got something far better to enjoy. Because he has found something which is superior. something which satisfies the deepest longing in his soul, something which will indeed meet his need spiritually and will also meet his need in every other way. And so he has a positive hatred in his heart for ways and for things that are at enmity with the mind and with the will of God. And so the blessed man, there are things he'll not do in this psalm, and there are things that he has a positive and blessed hatred for, and those things that he has a hatred for are the things that are against the mind and will and purpose and plan of God. And surely the blessed man today will have a hatred in his heart, a holy hatred, begotten of God, given from above, for the things that are against the Lord and the things that are contrary to the teaching of God's word and to the will of God. We find here in this psalm that the godly man or the blessed man does not walk in the way, in the counsel of the ungodly. He knows that the way of the ungodly shall perish, and so therefore he keeps out of it. The counsel of the ungodly is to walk in the broad road that leadeth to destruction, and to be in the company of such is not the place for a man of God. It's not the place for the blessed man or for the happy man. The happy man follows in the way of the Lord, not in the counsel of the ungodly. His manner of life is not directed by the wisdom which cometh from this world, but he is directed by the wisdom which cometh from above. And he seeks his guidance and his wisdom and his counsel from the Lord. It comes down from above. It doesn't come from the assemblies of evil and wicked men, from those who are ungodly, from those who draw their counsel from evil sources. No, the godly or the happy or blessed man stays clear of such a pathway. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And something else, he does not stand in the way of sinners. Now it may well be that the ungodly may mean those who live in ignorance of the Lord. But sinners are those who deliberately transgress against the light of God. Those who have turned in rebellion against the Lord. And of course the godly, the blessed, the happy man, he does not stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't go along with them. He doesn't join with them in their company and their craze. He doesn't stand with them in their grouping. No, he's a separated man. He's a man outside the camp. To abide in the way, in the ungodly's way of doing things, is to show an attitude that would be more at home and more in keeping with those who are enemies of the Lord than it would be to show an attitude towards God and to accept his ways. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to stand in the way of sinners, is something that the blessed, the happy man will not do. And I trust this morning of this psalm would be instructive for us in this sense, that we might not stand in the way of sinners, even as a stumbling block, hindering their approach to Christ. May they see, as they look upon us and as they examine our lives, may they see a clear way to the cross without any hindrance, without a blockage in the way over which they'll have to stumble and over which they'll have to trip in order to get to Calvary. Oh, may our lives be such that it'll be a finger post, a straight signpost to Calvary, that we might point sinners to the way rather than stand in the way of sinners, being a hindrance and being a stoppage on that way. May it be that we will be signposts to Calvary, signposts to Christ, not standing in the way of sinners. And then, of course, there's a third thing that the happy man will not do. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. We have that also in the opening verses of this psalm. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. And I think we should take note today that those who begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly and who start standing in the way of sinners, they soon end up in the seat of the scornful. And that's a very dangerous position to be in. Remember Peter, before Christ was crucified, and on that great announcement that Peter made under the direction of the Holy Spirit when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter goes on further to say more things, and then he makes that foolish charge, that foolish promise that he wasn't able to keep. He says, "Lord, I'll even die with you." Not very long afterwards, Peter was following his Lord afar off. And not only following afar off, but he began to stand in the way of sinners and to be in the counsel of the ungodly. And around the coals of fire that day, he began to deny his Savior. And he began to scorn the blessed Lord that he had been with for 3.5 years. Yes, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, eventually leads to the seat of the scornful. And there's not much higher position in the kingdom of Satan than to occupy the seat of the scornful. There's not much promotion beyond this for those who are in the kingdom of Satan or doing Satan's work. To scorn the blessed God of heaven and his Christ. And how many there are today who once loved the Lord, who once followed him, who were in his presence and walked with him, and today they're occupying the seat of the scornful because they have gone back. They haven't been prepared to go through with God. And like Peter, they started to follow afar off. And they have found themselves denying the faith that they once upheld and contended for. May it be that this blessed man and this psalm today may be instructive for us, that we will learn some things from this psalm that would indeed be a blessing to us, that would help us along our Christian pathway. Remember Peter, the example of that forthright man. That man who's always ready with the tongue to be the spokesman for others. And yet he's the one who failed most miserably when the test came. Those who scorn the things of God and his Christ, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that they walk according to their own lusts. The negative character of the happy man, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he occupy the seat of the scornful. But turning to the positive side of the blessed or happy man's character, we learn from this psalm that he is joyful. Yes, he has many blessings. He has many blessings, but the psalmist says here his delight is in the law of the Lord, verse 2. The Christian life is not one merely of giving up this or that or the other thing, but it is entering into a new and happy inheritance in the Word of God and finding in the Word of God something there to occupy his meditation and the thoughts of his heart. Finding there a gold mine, a treasure that had not been discovered before. It is true that the prodigal son, he had to give up some things ere he could possess the best robe and enter into the joys and happiness of a happy home. What were the things he had to give up? Surely it was the old swine troughs. It was the way of sin. It was his rags. And when he gave these up, He inherited a blessed inheritance. He inherited a blessed possession. The word of God, we can liken it unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And it's the inheritance of God's people. It's here for us to search out. It's here for us to conquer, as it were, although we'll never be able to conquer the depths of the word of God. It's a gold mine that needs to be dug out continually. And thank God for the land of the word of God. Here everlasting streams abide, and its flowers never wither. It is indeed a delightsome land, and all who love the Lord will have a delight in the word of the Lord. And so may it be a delight. May this happy man, as he is portrayed for us as a joyful person, may we also be joyful in the word of God. We've got the word of God. We've got the sword of the Spirit. And surely that makes us joyful and enables us to fight the Lord's enemies. To fight against the old enemy, Satan himself. And surely this word will enable us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes, the happy man, he is a joyful man. He has many blessings, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is God's word our delight today? Does it make us joyful? Do we feed upon that word for our spiritual and daily nourishment and our growth in grace? Then we notice something else, that he is a thoughtful person. Not only is he joyful, but he is thoughtful because it goes on to say, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, he does this in the day of prosperity. And in the night of adversity, also he makes the word of God the man of his counsel. And my, the happy man will meditate upon the law of the Lord. And in days when things are going well, my, the word of God will be his guide and his counsel. Equally so when things are going wrong, and in days and nights of adversity, my, the word of God will still be the meditation and the counsel and the guide of the happy man. Meditation on the word of truth is as needful for our spiritual health and strength as food is for the physical. And may it well be that, like Elijah's servant, it may well be that we need to look again and again before we can even see the cloud the size of a man's hand. We might not be able to get much from it at a first glance, but as we glance at it again and again and again, we'll begin to see, my, the tide of blessing rise. Just as Elijah's servant, the first time he looked out, he couldn't see the cloud. But when he looked again and then again, he saw it just the size of a man's hand and began to appear larger. And eventually the copious showers of blessing fell upon Israel. And may it be that as we look at the word of God, and as we look again and again and again, by the blessing of the Lord, it will become clearer. It will become larger. My, it will be pressed down and running over. And our cup, this little vessel that is so insignificant, will not be able to contain the blessing that God has in store for it. Yes, the Bible asks the question, what think ye of Christ? The Lord expects us to think deeply into the things which he has caused to be written for our learning and for our advancement in the kingdom of the Lord. There is no book in all the world that yields such a harvest of blessing to the humble student than the Bible, which is the word of God. And so we make this book our study, and as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, may we make it our meditation all the day. Not only in these verses have we got the happy man being joyful and thoughtful, but we have him hopeful as well. It says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He is full of expectation because his circumstances are favorable in this direction. It says he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, like a tree that spreadeth her roots by the river. While other trees are being starved and stunted by drought, his roots are being fully satisfied with the moisture of the stream that runs by. Buried in the streams of God's truth, God's mercy and God's grace, he's satisfied. My, his soul is satisfied with the Lord. He is meat to eat that others know not of. All whose delight is in the law of the Lord are like trees planted by the streams of living water. The roots of faith and love, they feed in these life-giving streams. And may it be that today we'll be hopeful. We'll be like tree planted by the river of life, the river of water, full of expectation, whose roots go down to draw from the resources that God has made for us, that God supplies for us, so that we might be hopeful, hoping and trusting in God, knowing that he will never fail. Also, we have in this verse, same verse, he is fruitful, the happy man is fruitful. It says he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He's a fruitful man. The fruit is according to the character of the tree, and it is always in season. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Men do not gather grapes of thistles or thorns. No, they gather grapes of its proper tree. They don't gather apples of thorn trees. No, each fruit is received from its appropriate tree. And the happy man, his roots being in the rivers of God, he has abundance of life. So that fruit bearing is the natural and simple result of his life. He bears his fruit in his season, being filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is made manifest. And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And there we've got the whole list in that verse. The man who is ready, as opportunity affords itself, to bear testimony for Christ, will bring forth his fruit in the season. Being filled out of the river of life, he will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. But thank God he's a fruitful man. She is a fruitful woman who's happy, who's blessed by the Lord. Blessed is the man. Oh, may it be that this psalm will just be written over our own hearts today. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands not in the way of sinners, sits not in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And then, not only is he fruitful, but he is beautiful as well. It speaks of the leaf. It says, whose leaf shall not wither. Oh, there's no withering of the leaf. And there's always a vital connection between the root and the leaf. Dry roots soon bring the dry rot into the leaf. Men cannot see the roots of Christian character, but they can see the leaf. And the hidden condition of the roots may be judged by the outward appearance of the leaf. And it's how we appear as a Christian, oftentimes we can be judged to the real person within. The outward life will be fresh and green when the inward life is pure and full of the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich. Withered leaves, that's a sign of a withered life. When our testimony for Christ and his truth loses its freshness and its power, we may be sure there's something wrong within. There's something wrong with the roots, for the stream itself never runs dry. It's not in the stream's fault, but it's found in the root. It is the Spirit's purpose, through the application of the word of the Lord, to put the beauty of the Lord our God upon us. Psalm 90, verse 17. let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And then in 1 Samuel, when Saul was chosen to be king over Israel, we find that he was going to Gibeah, and they took with them a group of men. And the Bible says they were men whose hearts the Lord hath touched. And when God begins to touch the heart, and the inside of the person is made pure and is full of the blessing of the Lord, it will be radiated in the outward appearance, and the beauty of the Lord will be seen to be shining in the face of those who belong to Christ. Remember Moses, when he came down from the mount after receiving the law at Sinai. Now his face shone. He had been in the presence of the Lord. Even those around were afraid to draw an eye. And they looked upon Moses as someone that could not approach. Oh, may it be that the happy man may portray the likeness of his Savior, the beauty of the Lord, and with a heart beautified with the graces of heaven, may it be shown in the outward life that we will know that we not only belong to Christ, but that others will also know that we're His. Yes, He is beautiful. The man whose leaf does not wither, there's no fading of his testimony. And then also in this verse we have that he is successful. It says, whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Oh, whatever he's going to do, it's going to be prosperous. Whatever the tree produces, it'll come to maturity. The bud and the blossom produced by the Spirit of life will come to perfection. My, surely he's going to be a successful man. Not in the eyes of the world. Not success as the world counts success, but he's going to be successful as a fruitful Christian. As a man after God's own heart, the purposes of God begotten in the heart of Joseph, they ripened into perfection, for the Lord was with him. And the Lord made it to prosper. Christ said, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And he left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. If it be God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, then surely we shall prosper, for God does work in us. Because as Philippians 1 verse 6 reminds us, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it, or will he bring it to completion. That is, God who has commenced a good work, he will carry it on, and he will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. And surely, the happy man is a successful man, because he's got that word of success in his soul, and he's got Christ who will bring that word to perfection. Oh, he's a successful man. Not as the world counts success. May it be that we'll count our blessings this morning. And if we do so, the hymn writer says, it will surprise us what the Lord has done. And then very quickly and very briefly in closing, let us notice the contrast at the end of this psalm. Verses 1 to 3 deal with the happy man. And verses 4 to 6 deal with the ungodly man. And I don't purpose to say much on these remaining verses of the psalm, but let us notice the contrast in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. And then verse 6, it says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, the ungodly are not so, not like the happy man. No, they're far from it. The ungodly are lawless ones. They have no delight or no reverence for the law of God. They are a law unto themselves, and the fruits of their own character and life and deeds, they will reap those fruits. They are not likened to the tree planted by the river, but like to chaff, which has no substance. Chaff driven about, they have neither root nor life in themselves. Chaff had once a close connection with the wheat, and may in some outward aspects resemble it, but it is dead and worthless. It is just blown about with the wind. And sure, the ungodly are like that, or just like the chaff, blown about with every wind of doctrine that blows. They're lawless. They shall not stand accepted before God. They shall not stand with the great congregation of the righteous. Only he that doeth the will of God shall stand forever or abide forever. How helpless and how empty chaff is. It just goes before the driving force of the wind. There is no refuge from it. Just taken here or there. As the Bible says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. It's like the troubled sea. He's restless. No refuge, no staying place, no anchor. Oh, notice the contrast. And I wonder this morning, as we're talking about the happy man, is there someone, and you fit this final description of the psalm, rather than the happy man? You're ungodly because you're not sealed. You're like the chaff, you're without substance, you have no refuge. You have no anchor for the soul. Oh, may it be that you'll not be driven to despair and to a lost and Christless eternity. But may it be that as you think upon the Word of God today, you'll be driven to the blessed Rock of Ages, and to the haven of refuge, and to Christ, who's able to save and to give you assured security in Him forevermore. Bless His name. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, says the Scriptures. And the way of the ungodly must perish, because it's the way of pride, unbelief, and Christ's rejection. And it'll have to perish. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof were the ways of death. And if you're not in the right way today, haven't gone into the paths of righteousness, start there today. Start at the cross. Come to Christ. Trust in Him. Be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not fade, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Oh, the happiness of the man. Oh, the happiness, the blessedness, the happinesses of the man whose God is the Lord. May you make the Lord your trust. Make Him your all and in all today, that you might know the blessedness of the happy man that this psalm speaks about. May it be so for Christ's sake. Amen.